Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to be with you, and I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia with 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin is driving another great Sunbury Motors vehicle this week.
Yeah, the Value Edition 2016 Hyundai Elantra. And I know what you're thinking, Steve. I said Value Edition, so it's basically four wheels and a motor. But it's really not. It's a lot more than that, including the blind spot mirror, push-button start, keyless entry, sunroof, heated seats, backup camera, and a lot more of things that you would not expect in a vehicle priced at under $18,000. It's the 2016 Kia Elantra Value Edition. They are brand new right off the truck. There's only a couple of them on the lot at Sunbury Motors Hyundai dealership. You'll find them in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury. Say hi to Skip and Danielle down there and find out about the Hyundai Elantra Value Edition. You can also see it on my Facebook page or when you follow me on Twitter at Kevin Herr. I have details there. By the way, gas mileage right now in the 30s.
Great.
That is great stuff. All right. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's War. Okay. Great to have you with us on this day. Tom Brady having his meeting today. None of the Brady thing. Look, it's taken 6 months. That doesn't pass the smell test. Or 5 months. 5 months, that doesn't pass the smell test. The Wells report, well, kind of, sort of, we think. That doesn't pass the smell test. Brady's press conference after the AFC Championship game didn't pass the smell test. The two guys that were involved in the equipment room don't pass the smell test. And the fact that there's not more scrutiny on the fact that the officials handle the balls, the footballs the entire game, they handle the footballs the entire game. You know, the first half of that game, they never noticed. And they're the arbitrators of the game. And that absolutely doesn't pass the smell test. They've received a lot of protection from the league as if, like, well, you know, we did our job. You did? Really? So in other words, you didn't notice that on the ball that was intercepted that turned out to be the key piece of this whole thing, what three individuals put that ball into play? Oh, that's right. The officials did. And then after the ball was intercepted, a new football was put into play, but this was a Colts football that was supposedly within the limits. You didn't notice the difference? That's why this whole thing doesn't pass the smell test at all. None of it does. None of it does. The Wells report, kind of, sort of, we think. Yeah, where's the hard evidence, Ted? The only thing that he's done that's been definitive in this case is he cashed the check.
What about the Jim Gray interview right after all this stuff broke at that event that Brady was supposed to be at? What a joke that turned out to be.
It was, but you know what? I'm not a big Jim Gray fan to begin with, but I will say this. You're put in really an impossible position. That's not why you were going there the entire time. You're supposed to be going there for an event at Salem University. That was part of the university. And you weren't going there to say, okay, I've been able to nail the big interview with Tom Brady. I'm going to sit down. Here we go. Now, that's a different circumstance as opposed to, hey, the university months ago set this night up, and months ago they asked you to come in and do it. That's a hard one to be in. That one I will let Jim Gray off the hook on because that wasn't the premise by which he was brought there.
Well, and I understand that, so I'm not blaming Jim Gray for the way he did the interview, although there were a lot of softballs that were lobbed up. I'm talking about the way Brady reacted to the questions. It was almost like he was insulted for even being considered this, and now all of a sudden we're finding out that there's a potential conspiracy here. And it's like, whoa, Tom, this isn't going to blow over because you're Tom Brady.
Yep. Again, that particular night, I go back to what the event happens to be.
Well, that wasn't the purpose for the event. You're absolutely right. That was something totally different.
So, you know, it's more of a cheerleader event, a leadership event, whatever. That's what was planned out for months and months and months. It wasn't one of those, hey, we're going to do this big thing. It's going to be at Salem University. We're going to do this hard-hitting, knockdown, drag-out interview. It just turned out the timing was coincidental. So I'm all right with that.
Would it have been better, in your opinion, as someone who's done many interviews over the years and teaches young kids how to do interviews and be a broadcaster, would it have been better not to even address it and just do the appearance as it was supposed to be?
No, you had to. And I think you just had to sit there and look, Tom, accusations have come out in the Wells report. What is your reaction to it? All right. What do you now plan to do after hearing this today? After you've done that, you know, and maybe one or two other questions on the same line, I would not have asked him, is the Super Bowl tainted? I mean, you outscored them 28-0 in the second half where the footballs were allegedly...
All good.
I do have one question, though. How do you feel about the banner that the Colts have right now hanging up, basically as the AFC runner-up?
You know what? Everybody can. You know, any team can do anything they want.
I understand that.
I mean, to make a big deal out of that, who cares? I don't care. I mean, do you know the banners I go in and see at the various places I go into?
I know, but that's like cheering on being number two. And you're always telling me that unless you're winning the gold medal, it doesn't matter at the Olympics.
Yeah, but I don't care what an individual team does. I could care less what they decide to honor at a particular place. It's up to them. I could care less. I think it's a small, petty. I mean, you want to see the banners I see when I go in.
Well, but the purpose of that banner is not to, this is my opinion, the purpose of that banner was not to honor the Colts for making it to the AFC Championship game. Do you think they would have put that banner up if they would have lost that game and there wouldn't have been any questions about the football or anything else? I don't think so. I can't say for sure, but I don't think so. I don't know anybody else. Is there anybody else in the NFL that has done that?
It doesn't matter.
That's also true.
What is it? It's completely inconsequential. If they want to do that, fine, do that. I mean, everyone has their own standard. For example, I'll give you an example of that. Penn State's not allowed to do this anymore because of college township regulations. But on the back of the scoreboard in the 90s, on the old scoreboard back in the 90s, Penn State had on the back of it what many other universities. I remember going to Oklahoma and seeing the same thing. And I did a basketball game out there and going to their football stadium, and I saw Oklahoma play SMU. There they had 1982 national champions, 1986 national champions, and they put on 1994 New York Times national champions. All of them are accurate. But there were some people, even here, that said they shouldn't have put that up. They shouldn't have put that up. And I said, why shouldn't they put it up? I said, what, the New York Times didn't vote them national champions? No, they should only put up national championships that are considered to be consensus national champions. And I had several people say that to me. And Joe wanted it up there that undefeated, untied team was recognized by the New York Times as national champions. Now, I've always been a firm believer that the media guide should recognize the 82 and 86 national championship teams in the media guide with bolder, bigger pictures and recognition than anything else, but that there are five other teams that have been recognized by organizations as national champions that should also be recognized. That'll be a little bit bigger and bolder than some of the other seasons, which would be 1911, 1912, believe it or not, 1969, 1981, and 1994. All five of those teams at Penn State received some sort of national championship recognition from some organization. And that, too, should be recognized. Undefeated teams should be recognized, like 73. 73 didn't get national championship recognition from anybody, and they didn't lose a game. They were the first team ever to be 12-0. And then Big Ten championship teams should receive a recognition, 94, 2005, 2008. But there were people here that loved seeing the 94 team recognized on Penn State's scoreboard as a national champion, and it was specific by the New York Times. And there were those here that were negative toward it, saying they shouldn't have put it up there and only consensus national champions should be recognized. So, you know, whatever you want to do. I mean, I've gone into places where, you know, like, okay, great. Oh, really? Okay, cool. Great.
Well, but to me, that's different because there was no consensus at that point.
And, yeah. And there was Nebraska. Nebraska was. They won the AP and the UPI national championship. Those were the two considered official national championship trophies and the MacArthur Bowl.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. What did they consider the national championship at that point? Because honestly, I didn't remember if it was AP, UPI, or USA Today.
AP, UPI. UPI had the coaches' poll at that point. And then maybe USA Today had taken over the coaches' poll at that point from UPI. And then the MacArthur Bowl. Well, there's so many other organizations that, I mean, for example, Pitt. Let's take Pitt. Right? Pitt claims, what do they want, 11 national championships or some number? Okay, we all know Pitt won one in 1976. But they recognize all the other 10 that received, you know, they got, you know, Notre Dame's like that. Notre Dame's got a whole bunch of them like that.
9 national titles Pitt recognizes.
Yeah, which is fine. You know, it's whatever your organization, it's that banner's up there for their fan base. It's not up there for you. If they feel comfortable about it, fine, so be it. It's not inaccurate. I think it says, what, AFC finalist?
Yeah, I think it's AFC finalist, yeah. No, it's not inaccurate. It seems strange because no one is, I don't know of any team that has ever done that. And it just seems as though we're not there honoring this team. It's there because of what happened in the game, or since the game, I should say.
Right. Yeah, I mean, most teams just get around that by saying, for example, with AFC South champions.
Right. Yeah, if you win the division, right.
Right. I mean, that's how everybody gets around it. But college football, until they came up with the BCS and the college football playoff, you know, I mean, for example, let's take 2005. Texas, AP, BCS, Berryman, Billingsley, Collie Matrix, DeVol, Dunkel, Eck, Fact, Football Writers, Massey, Matthews, National Football Foundation, Sagarin, Seattle Times, Sporting News, USA, ESPN, Wolf. Southern California was declared the national champion in the Harris Bowl. I mean, this goes all the way back. You can go back on any of these. You can find all sorts of organizations that have national championships. Let's take 1986. Well, Penn State gets, in 1986, beat Miami. Penn State's the national champion in 86 in AP, Billingsley, Fact, Football News, Football Writers, Matthews, National Championship Foundation, National Football Foundation, Sporting News, UPI, USA, CNN. Miami is still the national champion in Fact, Berryman, DeVold, Dunkel, Football Research, New York Times, and Sagarin. Okay. Let's see. 1994. Florida State is the champion in 1994 in Dunkel. Nebraska is the national championship in Alderson, AP, Berryman, Billingsley, Fact, Football News, Football Writers, National Championship Foundation, Sporting News, UPI, USA Today, CNN, and USA National Football Foundation. Penn State is the national champion in 1984 by DeVold, Echt, Fact, Matthews, National Championship Foundation, New York Times, and Sagarin. And you can go all the way back on all these things. You can find all sorts of stuff. Especially in years, for example, where anything before the playoff. I mean, in 1982, Helms named SMU the national champion. Berryman named Nebraska. Penn State was named by AP, Billingsley, DeVold, Dunkel, Fact, Football News, Football Research, Football Writers, Helms, Lickenhouse, Matthews, National Championship Foundation, National Football Foundation, New York Times, Polling, Sagarin, Sporting News, UPI, USA Today, CNN. Penn State in 1981 was named the national champion by Dunkel. Pitt in 1981 was named the national champion by the National Championship Foundation. Texas was named by National Championship Foundation in a tie with Pitt. SMU was also named to the National Championship Foundation in 81. Clemson was all the other ones. And you can go through and, you know, I think people would be stunned. The weird one is 73. Penn State is 12-0 in 73, yet Alabama, Michigan, Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Oklahoma all received some sort of national championship recognition. 1969, Penn State was named the national champion by Fact. Ohio State was named by Matthews, Texas, and all the other ones. Then at that point, you've got to go back to 1912 and find anything. But Penn State's recognized by, for seven national championships. And so you're talking about what they've done. They didn't, obviously they didn't win the title. But you have schools being, you go back in the 20s. 1920, Princeton, Notre Dame, Harvard, Cal, all won in 20. 21, Washington and Jefferson, Lafayette, Iowa, Cornell, California. 1922, California, Cornell, Iowa, Princeton. 1923, Cal, Illinois, Michigan. 24, Notre Dame and Penn. 25, Alabama and Dartmouth. I mean, before you have the playoff, you have all sorts of organizations naming a national champion. 1900 is only Yale. 1901 is Yale, Michigan, and Harvard. 02 is Michigan and Yale. Michigan and Princeton in 3. And 4, it's Penn and Michigan. Chicago and Yale in 5. Princeton, Vanderbilt, and Yale in 6. Penn and Yale in 7. LSU and Penn in 8. Yale in 9. In 10, it's Harvard, Michigan, and Pitt. In 11, Penn State, Princeton, and Vanderbilt. Penn State won the National Football, won the National Championship Foundation. 1912, Penn State again, named by the National Championship Foundation, along with, and then Harvard was the other one. So you can go back, see, and these are things people don't realize. Penn State's been recognized as the national champion by other organizations in five different years, 11, 12, 69, 81, and 94. Yeah. Now it's different. You have a playoff. Thank goodness. It's amazing what... There was always one individual I always heard that said that there should be a playoff. And there was also that same individual that I heard at one point that said, you know, they should figure out a way to institute an instant replay. You know, and now that same individual I heard, you know, they should get a 12th team in this conference and get a championship game. Who the heck was that person? Jeez, he sure was smart. Who was that? Back with more in a moment.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles. There should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Tuesday. Boy, a lot of storms around the area today. I know I've got a ball game to do tonight.
You should be all right.
Yeah, fine.
Good news is the watches in this area have all been dropped now. Most of the storms are in the Harrisburg area.
Right. Yeah, that's where the and these have been powerful storms. Very powerful storms. So we will hopefully everybody's okay and getting through. I mean, and not only that, when they come through, it's quick. I mean, it's with a vengeance. I just heard the lightning horn go off at Center Hills Country Club, which is down the road from me. And so, well, all right. This is we've talked about, you know. We've talked about the important. What we had was a Kevin Herr half hour where we talk about like bad uniforms and banners and things like that, like all the inconsequential things of sport that are just like have no bearing on who wins and loses.
Oh, people love to talk about it, though.
Why? I don't get that. You, I get. You know, believe me. It's, yeah, you actually do the expected. But, I mean, that's... Yeah.
Listen, I just want Brady out for one game. That's it. One game, then he can come back. I'm fine.
Well, that's consequential because that affects the game. Okay, whether the Patriots wear their blue jerseys, their red jerseys, or the road whites has no effect on the game. Zero.
Maybe Brady doesn't like to be in the white because it doesn't make him look good. So they're going to wear the white that game because he's not there.
I'm just saying, it has no bearing on the game. None. Well, the Colts put up a banner has exactly, explain to me, how much bearing does that have on winning and losing?
None, but it's fun to talk about, though.
What? All right. Now, Pete Rose betting on baseball? Yeah, okay. That then goes into a very serious area because,
As I pointed out yesterday, it's not just betting to win because there are consequences to that that affect careers. And there are consequences that affect other games in the season because of potential misuse of players because you need to win that night. There also is the possibility, obviously, of getting in debt. And if you're in debt to the wrong people, they've got you. Simple as that. They've got you. The Baseball Hall of Fame is also a museum. You can go in there and see, for example, you go into the hall and there are the plaques. All right. Now, you can argue that Pete Rose should be in the hall and his plaque just simply says all-time hits leader, 4,256. Factual and fair enough. You can go in there and you can see Barry Bonds in the hall and factually says hit 700 and what the hell did he hit? 762 home runs. That sound right?
I'm not going to guess because I'm usually wrong.
I'd say I think he had 762, I think.
It sounds about right, but
762, Hank Aaron, 755.
55, yeah, I knew that. Yeah. You know, and just factually say he hit 762 home runs and
with an asterisk.
But factually hit 700, he hit 762 home runs. Yeah, it's, you know, they left the park. I mean, you can do that. There is no code on there. You know, you can hear stories that Mickey Mantle thought he wasn't going to be playing and was out all night, you know, hung over, whatever, asked to pinch it in Washington, grabbed the bat, went up, knocked one out, circled the bases, never knew he didn't, sat back down. Okay.
Sounds like half of Babe Ruth's career.
All right. But, I mean, you know, what's the...
But see, I don't have any problem with these guys being in the museum, but not in the hall. The Hall of Fame, if you've done something to taint the game, disgrace the game, however you want to word it, no, not in the hall. You want to be in the museum because of the home run record or because of the all-time hits leader? That's fine. There was a long time where I thought Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. There was an awful long time. And then the more information that started to come out, I was like, no, he violated a rule that states exactly what happens. And he disgraced the game. Should he be in the museum? Yes. Hall of Fame? Probably not.
Right.
Now, are there all good guys in the Hall of Fame? That's another question. That's a whole different question there.
Right. So...
I don't think anybody would say Ty Cobb was a great guy.
On the field, yeah, but then off the field, it's interesting that I've read some stories about Cobb and Cobb and Ruth, and they went but then once they got off the field, they're out there playing golf, having a good time, and they got along great. I don't know. Who knows? Yeah. So,
you'd never have a player like Ruth or Cobb today. There's just too much attention. Information's disseminated too easily now, whereas in the 40s and 30s and 20s, it was a lot harder.
Yeah.
I mean, the stories about Babe Ruth would be instantly on the internet 5 seconds after he walked out of the club at 3 a.m. When he was playing baseball, it probably took another 2 days to get into the paper.
Right. Wait, exactly. Well, look, you don't have Twitter today. I'm sorry. You have Twitter today. You didn't have it back then. You have camera phones today. You didn't have that back then.
That's a great example. Yeah.
Okay. So today you've got to be able everything is scrutinized in far greater ways. I mean, could you have bet on games? You know, although I'll say this. Go back to 1962, and the NFL found out about Alex Karras and Paul Hornung. Now 62. Could you have gambled on games in the 40s and 50s, and maybe you could fly under the radar? Maybe. Today, there's no way you could do it. There's no way you could do it today and fly under the radar.
Will someone who has, and let's use baseball as the example, will someone who has been found to use PEDs make it into the Hall of Fame? And if so, how do you think that's going to happen? I mean, what is it going to be? What's the turning point going to be for the writers to put them in?
I don't know. I have no idea.
And how do you justify it if he does?
What, if that person's voted in, how do you justify it?
Yeah. I mean, if you use the argument that Pete Rose, even though he broke a rule that stated, we've addressed that, it was well played. You know, he's not in the Hall of Fame because he disgraced baseball or disrespected the game. Is somebody who uses PEDs different then? Did they do something to taint the game? In my mind, it's yes, because now every time you look at a highlight reel, and I'm going to pick on Bonds because Bonds is the easy target here. When every time you look at Bonds and you see home runs, and then you see home runs, you know, in the latter part of his career, he's obviously a different player. He's a different body. There's no question about that. But you have to. But now you wonder.
Body wise, yes. But in terms of outstanding performance, he was an outstanding performer.
Absolutely.
Back in the 90s with the Pirates.
Absolutely. And there was a long time that I felt that his numbers, well before the question of PEDs, made him Hall of Fame material. My mind's been changed on that as the years have gone on.
Okay. As a regular season performer, yes. Absolutely not as a postseason performer.
But
Barry
Bonds, except
that 2002 was the only postseason that Barry Bonds did well. All the other postseasons Barry Bonds had, he was far from a Hall of Fame performer. He was, in fact, his lack of production in postseason is a major reason why his teams did not win in postseason.
But there was a long time that I felt that his numbers before the question came about were worthy of being in the Hall of Fame. And now that that's there, I have to wonder, did he do something to disgrace the game, or however you want to put it, that makes him, in your mind, ineligible? And in my mind, that's a yes now. Because you've done something to disrespect the game. You've done something to make me question those last 200 home runs or so, maybe even more.
Well, you know what? I mean,
A-Rod's another guy. Should he be in the Hall of Fame? He probably should have. He probably could have been before all this happened. Now, it's going to be a real tough climb.
Well, there'll be no climb. He's not going to get any vote. He will get votes, but very few.
But if it did, but if none of this happened, would he be in the Hall of Fame?
If none of this happened?
Yeah.
Of course he would be.
Absolutely.
Of course he would be. I mean, you know, would Pete Rose be in if he hadn't done it? Yeah, of course he would be.
Right.
Barry Bonds? Yeah, of course he would be. Roger Clemens? Yes. Mark McGwire? Maybe not. Probably not. He has enough career home runs, so maybe he would have made it. Based on career home runs, he would have made it because he's over 500.
Which is worse for Sosa, the bat issue or... Which was worse?
Wow, it doesn't matter.
No, I know. I mean, that's the pointless discussion you'd have over a cool, refreshing beverage someday.
But take, for example, I'll give you a guy, Manny Ramirez. Manny Ramirez, it was a great hitter in his career. Not just a home run hitter. He hit over 500 in his career. But he was a great professional hitter. Yet, he was suspended over it. So you'd probably say no on him, too. Look, there's no disputing the excellence of Barry Bonds. There's no disputing the excellence of Roger Clemens. There's no disputing the, I mean, I'll give you another, Rafael Palmeiro. Rafael Palmeiro is a 3,000 hit, 500 home run guy.
That's a great example, yeah.
Right? He accomplished both. And, which is exactly where A-Rod is. But none of these guys are going to get in because it goes back to what I talked about earlier. I think when you say, I continue to work with a bona fide professional and college football Hall of Fame player. Jack Ham is a Hall of Famer because of the excellence on the field and the honor he brought to the game. Okay. Dick Girardi's in the Writers Hall of Fame because of the excellence on the keyboard and the honor he brings to his profession. That's why he's honored, because he has brought honor to the profession. The reason Jack Ham was honored is because he brought honor to the profession. You are honored because you have brought honor to something. And the Baseball Hall of Fame is also a museum. You salute in the museum 73 home runs in the season by Barry Bonds. You salute 762 home runs by Barry Bonds. You salute 3,000 hits and 500 home runs by Rafael Palmeiro. There's also a separate wing where you put plaques in for those who excelled on the field and did so by honoring, but also brought honor to the game. You ask Frank Robinson, who was the definition of both. Frank Robinson excelled to the highest level as a competitor on the field. Frank Robinson has always brought honor to the game and the profession. You ask him if Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. And you want to know what his answer is? His answer takes a millisecond. He always looks at the camera and says, no. Come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Kevin's willing to put anybody into the Hall of Fame that is a Steeler.
Not completely. There's a few Steelers that I don't think should be in the Hall of Fame.
Who?
Yancey Thigpen.
He had moments.
He did. Louis Lips. Not enough. Louis Lips Louis is Lips. Another one. No, I don't think he's in there. Yeah. Kent Graham. He should not be in the Hall of Fame.
Barry Foster?
There was a day where I had a Barry Foster jersey. Burned it the next year. I think it was on sale.
Why don't you just get a generic jersey? And
I
wear
did.
It?
I have one with my high school number on it. My wife got it for me for Christmas one year.
The Steeler jersey?
Yes.
Well, good. Then you don't need the other jerseys.
Everybody keeps asking me, though, who's 76? John That's Banizak. The bad part. You know, who's 76?
John Banizak.
I said that was my jersey in high school. And then it's usually that's followed good. Up with, you played football in high school? Not real well, but that's a whole other topic now, isn't it? I said, there's a reason that I'm upstairs talking about games and not playing them anymore.
Hey. Everybody at our age is in that realm. Believe me, there's nobody our age that's out there playing games anymore.
But see, I got lucky though the last couple of years when
we don't need to hear that in the air.
No, Mike Adams wears 76. So I now it's not so confusing to people.
Yeah, but you don't like Mike Adams. That's the thing that's funny about that.
It's true. That is true.
You don't even like him.
I was not a huge fan. No. He's also a wee bit bigger than I am.
Your life brings with it several contradictions.
It's been that way for a long time.
Wow. Let's see. Roger Goodell heard Tom Brady's Deflategate appeal today. If it doesn't go the way Brady wants, they might go to court. How about that?
I'm wondering what the over-under is on when we're going to hear something back. I mean, wasn't the last one of these, and I think I mentioned this in the first hour, the last time that Roger Goodell heard one of these was May, and he still hasn't ruled on it yet.
Well, he's going to have to take care of this within a month. My guess would be by July 15th. So
yeah, well, this one's a much more high-profile case than the other one. I don't even remember the other case.
Yeah. Boy, Lou Holtz, man, his home in Orlando destroyed by fire. Wow. Nobody hurt, thank goodness. See that?
No, I missed that one.
Holtz and his family got out. They're okay. So good. I mean, that's the good news.
Was that yesterday,
there.
Today, last night?
It may have been yesterday. Wow. Ooh, that's scary. Yeah, I guess it was electrical that started it. All right. Great to be with you today. Randy Gouten coming up tomorrow on the show.
Eagles football recap from the minicamp.
Mike Passanisi, who works for the Mets, is going to join us tomorrow as well. Looking forward to that. And Kevin will be talking about uniforms, banners, like all the stuff that swing games. Like the NBA draft, you don't want to talk about that. That involves competition.
No, that's not controversial. Unless you're picking who's going to pick first.
Well, it's Minnesota, and they're going to take Carl Anthony Towns.
News, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. And on WKOK.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes.
All right. And.